Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, and we go right to the guest line where Adam Schefter from ESPN is awaiting to chat with us about the NFL trade deadline. Schefter is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Adam Schefter, how are we doing this week?
Hello, how are we doing, guys?
Good.
I'm guessing we're not quite as busy as you. Feels like it could be a busy trade deadline, and the Patriots got going yesterday. I know you had sort of predicted the Kyle Duggar deal. They get rid of Keon White. Those two deals, were they both guys that they were just simply looking to unload?
Yep. I think, look at the return, what they got back, and you could see the return on the investment. I think at that point in time, you're looking to clear out the roster spot, the money, whatever they can to move on from the particular player that they obviously were done with. I mean, you're not getting back a whole lot of compensation. The compensation is the flexibility that provides you to go add other players to your roster, and that's what they can do now. But they've been talking about a Keon White trade for weeks. They've been open to moving Duggar for weeks, maybe months. And so here they are. They finally, a week before the deadline, are able to make the trade to move along both guys.
Okay, Adam, I'm going to ask you a two-part question, and the answer to your first one will go quick, and that's basically Myles Garrett. Go ahead. You can pull cold water over him getting traded to the Patriots. Everybody here is all worked up about that. I heard your report on that. And then also just who do you think is a viable maybe candidate to be traded? You hear the Saints receivers are out there, maybe Breece Hall for the Jets. Jacoby Myers from the Raiders, but Myles Garrett, any chance he comes here? And then if not, what are some of the maybe other options that the Patriots could be looking at as far as trade partners?
Well, I will pass along the exact quotes that somebody told me in relation to Myles Garrett being traded today. They texted me, quote unquote, no chance. And then they texted me again saying, people have a better chance of winning the lottery.
Ah.
So take that for what it's worth, but yep, that would be somebody that would absolutely know. And Myles Garrett is not getting traded by the deadline on Tuesday. As for some of the other ones, Rashid Shaheed, yeah, I could see him being traded before the deadline. The Raiders are listening on Jacoby Myers. Doesn't mean no deal. They recognize he's a good player, and they're prepared to hold him if they don't get the value that they want in return. I still think that they'll be one of the Dolphins' pass rushers who's traded before the trade deadline, whether that's Bradley Chubb or Jalen Phillips, but I don't know that the Dolphins would be willing to trade in the division unless it was, you know, a real strong price. You know, I'm sure there'll be other moves. That every year there seems to be one little curveball that you're not expecting. We just got a trade just now, literally 5 minutes ago. The New England Patriots or the Philadelphia Eagles traded John Metchie to the Jets for Michael Carter, the nickelback essentially. So there's another trade. And there we go.
Speaking of Philadelphia wide receivers, everything I've heard, Adam, is that the Eagles are adamant that they're not going to trade A.J. Brown. But for some reason, there's been a lot of chatter, regardless of that huge, the dead money that the Eagles would have to eat, that perhaps he could get moved. Have you heard any buzz or any chatter going one way or the other in the last couple of days?
Yeah, he's not going to get moved. I mean, just not going to happen before the trade deadline. I'm amazed at how much speculation it has generated, how much conversation has come out of this. You know, again, I'll always say that you never know with the NFL. Anything always could happen, but for them to move him now would be really, really surprising. It's not something they're planning. It's not something I'm expecting. You know, again, what do you think the price would be if they traded A.J. Brown today? Just give me a random guess at draft compensation. What do you think the number is? I don't care what you tell me, but what do you think
it is? I'd say a second and a fourth.
Okay, so let's just say it's a second and a fourth. Why would the Patriots, or the I keep listening to the Patriots, why would the Eagles trade him now for two and a four when they could have him for the rest of the season as they try to defend their Super Bowl title and then trade him in the offseason for at least that, maybe more, when there will be more teams interested, more teams with the ability to have that cap space? Like, in my mind, it makes no sense for them to trade him, and I don't expect him to be traded. I just do not expect that. Now, I guess I was a little bit stronger on Myles Garrett because, as I always say with this stuff, basically not everybody is for sale, but everybody has a price. So, you know, if some team's going to step up and go crazy, could that happen? Sure. But I'm not expecting that in any way, shape, or form. The Eagles aren't looking to do that. So, but no, I'm not expecting A.J. Brown to be traded by the deadline.
Time now to get this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And it's going to be a trade-related Drake Take, Adam. If you were the general manager of the Patriots, if you were Elliott Wolff or the brain trust down there, Ryan Cowden, and you were looking to support Drake May, and you know what's available out there based on everything you've heard, tackles, receivers, running backs. What do you think the Patriots could or should do to support Drake May this season?
I think it should be a slow, steady build. There should be nothing that they do that they're overpaying for. Drake May is going to be in New England a long time. He is going to be on his rookie contract for two more years after this year. They need to make decisions that they would make as if Drake May were there, weren't there. Like, just keep building the roster. Keep building around him. Don't force the issue. If there's something that makes sense and there's some value in a trade, then go do it. And if there's not, don't force something because you feel like, boy, we're in a better spot than we expected to be, and we need to get this guy. Like, he's got wide receivers. They could use a little bit more depth at running back. I saw they signed D'Ernest Johnson today. They could use, you know, a little bit more help on the offensive line, who couldn't at this point in time. But there's nothing that you say, boy, they really need to, I mean, another tight end would be good. There's a lot of things that they need, but every team has needs. But to me, I'm not forcing anything. I'm making calls. I'm asking around. And if there's a good value trade for somebody, then I'm open to making it anywhere on the offense.
Okay, Adam, I'm going to give you another two-parter real quick. You talked to, you know, a lot of guys that played the quarterback position, Orlovsky, you know, in particular. I'm just curious what, you know, they think of Drake May. And then also, you know, Drake May being an MVP candidate, it feels like at this point, at least he's high in the odds. Like, what does he need to do to kind of, you know, win that award? So just basically, what are guys saying that your colleagues about Drake May at this point, and is he a viable MVP candidate, and what has he had to do to get that?
Yeah. Well, what I would say is that, yeah, he has impressed everybody. You heard today Zach Robinson, the Falcons offensive coordinator, say that he believes that Drake May is a younger Josh Allen. We were talking at GetUp on Monday about if they did last year's draft today, would Drake May be the first quarterback off the board? And the answer was very possibly yes. Very possibly yes. Candidate, just keep winning games. Just keep playing the way you are.
Yep.
Just keep doing what you're doing. And inevitably, if and when they're winning games, then he's going to have a chance to win the MVP.
And Adam, if there was going to be one team that came out of nowhere and was the most active at the trading deadline, could you perhaps offer a team that came out of the woods, the woodwork, the weeds out of nowhere?
Yeah, well, I don't think the Patriots are done. You know, I just don't. I think they'll be making calls. Doesn't mean they get something done, but I think they'll be looking to try to get something done. Yeah, look, the Eagles just made another trade. The Eagles are always busy. The Dolphins, I think, like I said, will trade one of those guys. I think the Saints will move on. You know, those are some of the teams, but, you know, it should be a fairly busy 5-6 days here coming up.
All right, Adam, appreciate you joining us. I know you're busy over the next 5 or 6 days or so. And if you want to drop us any dimes, you hear anything, feel free to check back in. If not, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Adam.
I look forward to talking next Wednesday post-deadline. I really do.
Sounds awesome, good, man. Adam. Talk to you then. See you.
Thanks, man.
Adam Schefter, ESPN.
Was he being sarcastic? I couldn't tell.
No, I think he was legit looking, not about us. I think he was legit. My guess is this is a pain in the ass. His phone vibrates a lot and rumors.
But I also think this is kind of where his time to shine, too.
Absolutely.
So he probably loves it.
Absolutely. It is a Bruins Thursday, and the voice of the Boston Bruins, Judd Surratt, is brought to you by Sports Etc. It is scary goalie season at Sports Etc. Now through Halloween, get up to 30% off all goalie equipment, dead stop on October 31. Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. All good. Little challenge getting here, but that's all right.
Oh, yeah. Did Ken not tell you about the road construction and everything being shut down?
No, that's okay. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, my chopper was not available today for me to just kind of drop in.
Well, they're redoing the whole thing over here, and they're doing a fine job on it, but it's inconvenient. So I'm glad you finally made it in. And, I mean, interesting week for the Bruins. I was there Saturday. I think I brought them good luck. No Hillman jinx. They beat a really good hockey team, and then you go to Edmonton, all of you, and you are atrocious, and you get blown out, and then you come back and beat the Islanders. So what is this team from your perspective now here?
I think we're still trying to find that out. You know, the sample size is getting a little bit bigger, so now they've played 12 games. You know, and if you look across the 12 games, you mentioned the game in Ottawa. That's the one game where the Bruins were not competitive, and it was almost a flashback to the season before. And the way that the first period started against the Islanders, you're down 2-0 in the first 5 minutes. So now you start to think, okay, what do we have here? And they were able to bounce back and score 5 unanswered goals. So I think, you know, Greg, in answer to your question, I think that they're a team that's still trying to find its identity, which is how to play hard defensively and being that hard out. We had the GM Don Sweeney on the other day, and you know, one of the things that he talked about is they're still, as a team, having problems with the system that Marco Sturm is putting in place. You know, and at this point, I think he feels like the onus is on the players, both individually and collectively, to be able to pick that up. So let's see how they respond. Can the Bruins finish this month of October with a couple of wins against the Sabres? You're going to see Carolina here on Saturday afternoon. That would move you back to 500 and still keep you in the mix.
The rumors about Pavel Zacha, the Canucks there have interest in him. I know the Bruins have come out and said that they see Pavel as a long-term guy here. Where do you fall on that?
Pavel Zacha is a really valuable player. He's a top six forward who can play center and wing. He can check. He's skilled. He can play on both your special teams units. He's going to generate a lot of attention around the National Hockey League and provide a lot of value. I think the team that, Elliot Friedman is one of the most respected guys in our business, and the name that he connected it to was the Vancouver Canucks, and apparently these conversations have been taking place since last summer. Listen, most of these general managers, they're talking about all sorts of players with all sorts of teams. Jimmy Rutherford, just as a sidebar, he's been around for a long time, Hall of Fame general manager in the National Hockey League. He's typically a guy that likes to strike fast rather than just before the trade deadline. So I'm sure that there have been some conversations about Pavel Zacha, but he's a really valuable piece for the Bruins. And if you want to be a competitive team in the East, you probably got to hold on to him.
When you say, like, they are not getting Marco's system, like, What are they, I don't get, like, what are they not figuring out with it? Like, you know, what is it that they're not able to get what he wants them to do?
Well, I think the word that Donnie Sweeney brought up was overcompensation. And maybe you've seen this when, you know, when you were playing in the NFL, that I think that too often there would be one mistake and then it gets compounded by two more mistakes. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's out of position. Had a conversation with Morgan Geeky before the game in Ottawa, and he said, you know, if you look at the film, and this was before the Colorado game, if you look at the video, part of the problem is we will leave good ice, the front of the net, protecting the house, to go check the bad ice. Mm. And there are too many people who are trying, I think, to cover up for mistakes that maybe one other guy would make. And then it just starts to compound itself. So that's the issue. That's what they're trying to nail down.
Because I think, like, from watching it, so that's the thing that I've noticed in some of these games is there's a lot of guys free in front of the net. And, you know, there's nobody. Before, we used to talk about defensemen clearing those guys out from front of the net. But it seems like there's a lot of guys in front of Swayman or even Corposalo. And we tend to be like, well, why didn't the goalie make that stop? Well, if there's nobody trying to clear a guy out in front, I feel like you're seeing a lot of screen goals.
Well, I think, you know, the problem is if you look across the first 12 games, and I don't have the analytics in front of me, that so there's the stat is high danger chances. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Bruins, depending on who you look at and when, they're near the top of that. So that's why I think that you see the goalies' numbers the way they are. Look at Jonas Korpisalo's performance the other night. Number one star, he had to be. They were giving up some wide open chances. Yes, they rallied from two down in order to win, but those are the chances that you have to cut down.
If he was on that breakaway, like back-to-back shots on, you know, stop the shot and stop the rebound, he's been great. Like, he has been great.
He's been really good.
But the defense is not helping.
No. You know, in the game that you went to against Colorado, who was the number one star in the game? Jeremy Swayman. I think that that's part of the issue here early on. Listen, the goalies have done their part. But I think that the issues are not in net. They're in front of what's happening in net. Your goalie can't be the number one star every single night. So hopefully they're able to start to pick that up and get a little bit of traction with their system. You know, go back to the game that you mentioned against the Colorado Avalanche. Mm-hmm. Avs open the scoring, 1-0. And now you're thinking, uh-oh. And the first 14 minutes of that game, they were dominant. The Bruins had an awfully hard time. Even when they got the puck, they couldn't do anything with it, going tape to tape to break out of their own zone. That's another problem that we should probably get to. But you know, I think for the Bruins, if they can start to tighten up a little bit more defensively, they'll have the puck more. If they can break out more, they're going to spend less time in their own zone, stay out of the box. They're taking still too many penalties. It'll help this
team. Is Charlie McAvoy the guy?
I do.
Like, you think he is? You're paying him $9.5 million or whatever you're paying him. Is he the guy?
I do. You know, I think that the challenge is a little bit different for him this year, and this is another thing that Brick and I had a chance to talk with Donnie Sweeney about. So it's a different challenge here. You know, we've talked about the leadership with this team. So now you have guys in David Pastrnak, Charlie McAvoy, some of the other guys that you've signed long-term, Jeremy Swayman. Now you're asking these guys to lead from the front where maybe they haven't had to do that as much in the past, and they have to make sure that they're on top of their game. And that's a balancing act.
But going back to what you said about Marco Sturm and them not just being able to grasp, I guess, his game plan for them yet, isn't that more on the players, though? Like, don't you need a player in that dressing room to stand up and be that leader? Like, I think Patrice Bergeron was that for so long, and whether it was Bruce Cassidy or other coaches said they didn't really have to do a lot of the coaching because Patrice would handle it.
No, you know, the one caveat I will add to that, though, Courtney, is, and this is where Marco Sturm said I need to be a little bit more patient, that a lot of these guys, whether it's Charlie McAvoy, David Pastrnak, two leaders in that room, we're playing a different system. These guys have never seen another system. And it's not that dramatically different from what the Bruins had played in the past. So very simply, mm-hmm. from the top of the circles to the blue line, man on man. From the top of the circles down, layered system, exactly the way that the Bruins had played in the past. There is some nuance to it, and they're having a hard time picking it up. And I think for some of these guys who've never played anything different, it's taken a couple of games.
John, has there been, in the conversations you have with Don Sweeney, is there any sort of regret for how he may have misread the market with Marchand?
I've never had that conversation with him. you know, and when you say that, like, as far as where do you think the market was or how he wanted to play it?
I believe that they were nowhere near each other when there was a negotiation prior to trading him. Like, I think that Brad has signaled the desire to play 5-6 more years, and I think they were probably looking at, you know, a 2-3 bridge with him to, you know, maintain the captain and get the next generation. And just seeing how he performed and where he is, it just seems like if this is the Patriots or the Celtics or the Red Sox GM, they are never living that down.
Well, I think that they understood the market in the sense that I think they understood that Marchand valued himself at a certain level as far as dollars. I think they got to the years, but it's the dollars they just couldn't come to an agreement on.
So do you think that Sweeney was surprised by how he performed with the Panthers?
No, I don't believe that at all. I think if there's one guy that Donnie Sweeney understands how good he is and how valuable he is, it's a guy in Brad Marchand. You know, and even, you know, listening to Marshy's comments after he left, you know, I think the way I interpret it is he could understand where Donnie Sweeney and the Bruins are in the organization and what they needed to do moving forward. So I don't know that he sensed that there was he mismanaged the market, because there's always going to be a team out there that's going to pay a lot of dollars. Like for a guy like Brad Marchand,
that team just happens to win cup after cup after cup. By the way,
well, let's take the Utah Mammoth. Since we were out there earlier this season, I think that they were a team that definitely wanted to spend the money to bring a guy like Brad Marchand in.
Mm-hmm.
Would Brad Marchand go to the Utah Mammoth? You know, for the position that the organization is in.
Well,
no,
Shime
not
loves,
necessarily.
Shime loves their mascot,
Tux Scup. Right?
He's awesome.
See, I thought it was the...
That's a win, by the way, out there. That's going to be a great franchise.
Jay Wiggy, did you ask Tyra Banks about the Mammoth?
No. Okay. John, I thought it was the years, the money that was more of the issue. Like, the Bruins were like, all right, we'll give you the money, but we don't want to give you the 6 years, right? I thought that's kind of...
No, I think it was the money, because he brought up, and didn't he bring up 6.5?
I thought it was seven at one point.
So the Bruins offered a pay raise.
It was 6-7.
You know, they're on the market. You know, they're on record saying that they offered him a pay raise. I think what Florida did was they spread out the money because, all right, the National Hockey League is a hard cap system. You have to be able to manage your team under the cap. There are certain dates where you have to be compliant under the cap. You know, and now, you know, far down the road in the playoffs, it's different. There will be a salary cap in the playoffs with the new collective bargaining agreement. So you can't go over and above and beyond the way some teams have done in the past, whether it's Patrick Kane or Nikita Kucherov, who are on IR, came off and played. So it's a little bit harder for these general managers. So let's say you had a player make, you know, across a 3-year term paying $10 million. All right, well, it's a hard cap. That's going to impact what your roster is going to look like versus a guy who might be making three at seven. Hopefully that makes sense. But I think Marchand had a number as far as salary that he wanted to earn.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think that he had a 6-year deal in mind. I don't think anybody did around the National Hockey League. The Bruins were obviously willing to meet him at three, but it's the dollar figure that I think that was the sticking point.
Hmm.
All right, Sabres tonight.
Yes. Second time. They haven't won a game on the road. Bruins had a good performance against them in the first outing. Sabres a little bit healthier maybe than the Bruins saw them last. You know, I think one of the things that we're going to have to watch is, okay, does Mason Lorai come back into the lineup after being a healthy scratch? Hopefully Hampus Lindholm is a guy that gains some traction. What are the combinations up front? Because Marco Sturm kind of juggled him around here in the last couple of games.
Nice to see your predecessor there with a huge round of applause on Saturday. And Jack looks like he's doing well.
Yeah, you know, actually had a chance to catch up with him. He actually was at the game of, I'm all lost on what day is today. But
today's Thursday.
Thank you.
Saturday.
Game day, baby.
Saturday was when he stood up in the box.
Yes, well, he was actually at the game also on Tuesday, Greg, so we had a chance to catch up. He's doing well.
I thought it was
weird.
In the box, he had his full lineup card done, which I thought was, I mean, it's not,
he held up the three tablets. That's actually not easy. That's not easy to do.
He's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing really well. You know, I don't think there's been any change necessarily with his speech.
Mm-hmm.
His health, He was in a great mood. It was great to see him. Great to catch up.
Is it concerning that he got the loudest round of applause the entire hockey game for the Boston Bruins? Is that any concern?
No. He earned it. Listen, okay. He was there for 19 years. Yes, he set did. A standard.
Yes, he did. All right, great to see you, Judd.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
That's Mark Schlereth on the call on Sunday. You can check him out today on WEEI Afternoons, The Stinkin' Truth. With Hart and Fitzy and Ted. Comes your way today at 2 o'clock. Every Tuesday at high noon, we are joined by Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us now here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And by Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping and get rewarded. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am tremendous. My favorite was toward the end of that game where Mark Schlereth mentioned that, you know, Cleveland hung around. They had some, they made some noise defensively, but the Patriots eventually flexed their muscles.
Yeah.
They did. And it's disorienting to think that there are muscles to flex and that they're flexing on anyone this quickly in the 2025 season.
Well, so let me ask you, we were debating this earlier today. A lot of the power rankings come out on Tuesdays, and it's just a way to get into the teams that are ranked ahead of the Patriots. I think ESPN has the Pats 10. Florio has the Pats 10. I was just looking at a Yahoo power ranking. They have 9. So do you think that's a fair ranking for the Patriots? And are they true contenders? Can you be a true contender if you're ranked, you know, somewhere in that same range? So there's a lot in that question, but I guess, what do you think their ceiling is, and what do you think they're capable of doing this year?
I'm going to give you a yes and a yes. They're ranked appropriately. I do think the Broncos are a team that, you know, I look at unexpected points. I can send you the just text to the screen grab of his graphics. I really like the way he does it because he takes into account a lot of different measures, DVOA, all the points over expected. But he also has dragged in from the previous season some of the results of the team. So, you know, it gets the resume. He has the Patriots 10th. He's got the Broncos around 5. I kind of like that. I think the Broncos are 5th. I think the Seattle Seahawks are 8th, right behind the Patriots. I think it's Buffalo. So I like that spot. What can the Patriots do? That's what we'll find over the last 9 games.
You know,
they have met every challenge, but to me, the level of opponents right now, they're 20-40 is the combined record of their opponents. We all understand that. They're dispatching the bad teams with ease. How will they look when they are in a dogfight?
You know, they gave up another opening drive touchdown to a bad quarterback and to a bad offense, and yet then they completely shut him down the rest of the way. We bring it up a lot. Mike Vrabel's even brought it up. Are we making too big a deal out of it, considering they are able to then make adjustments and completely dominate after the first drive?
I don't think we're making too much of it, because the day will come maybe in 2 weeks against Tampa Bay or against Baltimore when they see him and they see them and they have Lamar Jackson back. It will be a big deal, because that opening drive touchdown may not lead to, if it happens with ease, the Patriots scoring soon thereafter to counter it, and another easy shutdown. Like, there's no chapter 2 in the Tennessee Titans offense. There is a chapter 2 to the Bills offense or the Ravens offense or any number of teams that we look at. And not any number, actually. There's not that friggin' many on the schedule that they have to look at. There's a lot of one-chapter books out there. But they'll eventually see it, so they have to figure it out. And I really do think, as Vrabel has pointed out, it's about the script, and it's about maybe being a little too geared up where you lose track of what you talked about on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday just for a minute, because you're in it and the game has started. You're like, you know, Mr. Krabs there in the meme where everything's zooming around him.
It's time for this week's Drake Take from Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. There was a lot of debate coming out of the game a week ago, Tom, about how much Drake should run. He ran more in this game than I personally expected. There's a lot of fear about him getting hurt. How do you think the Patriots are handling and balancing Drake May running versus staying in the pocket, protecting himself? And should they allow him to keep doing it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, allow. What are they going to do? I mean, just throw a net on him when he starts to run? Tell him not to run and please take a hit in the pocket? You've got to play the game. Now, have they done everything they can? I believe so, because you can see how cognizant he is of trying to get down, including his ass drop slide the other day.
that was pretty bad.
Really? There's nothing you can do more than let him play the game. You can't scream at him to not run. Play. Just play. Everybody's going to get hurt. He might get a bump on head. He might miss time. It happens to all of them. You pray and you hope that it doesn't, not just for the football sense, but you don't want to see anybody go through undue physical pain that doesn't heal as quickly and is so enigmatic an injury. But they're going to get hurt. So run, take care of yourself, slide when you can. But anticipate at some point you're going to get hurt.
Trade deadline is 1 week away. Do you think the Patriots make a move?
I do think they'll make a move. I like how Shefty said the Patriots could be a team that makes a move.
Sure could. They sure could.
Yeah.
I'll up the ante and say they should make a move. Yep. I think they owe it to themselves to make a move. And if you look at this roster, top to bottom, and the positions that they have staffed right now, and the depth behind those players, who, again, let's talk about injuries, because Mike Vrabel is starting to allude to them on a regular basis. They need to start accounting for the fact that if they lose people, there'll be an issue. And I look at tight end as an underrated spot where you have to be concerned, because behind Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper, it's Jack Westover. And he's not really a ball-catching threat. You know, wide receiver is, everybody's got their role, but if somebody goes down and they have to reshuffle, where does everybody fall in? So to me, even if it's not a Jacoby Myers, or certainly, definitely, almost certainly positively not your A.J. Browns, I don't mind if it's somebody you give up a seventh-round pick for or a pick swap just so that you can get some more depth with an experienced player.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday at high noon. It's Tommy Tuesday. Tom, you covered the Patriots for a long time now. You were there in 2001 when they started coming out as a team. Mike Vrabel put an end to that last week at home in their victory over the Browns. Your thoughts on that decision?
The interesting thing is they were introduced, I believe it was in Cincinnati in 2001. They forgot to introduce them as individuals. So they just said, all right, okay, well, let's just go on the field. So that's how it actually started. So it happened by happenstance. And then they started to have some success and they just were taking the field. And it became and evolved in rightfully into something that's emblematic of nobody's bigger than the other. I think Mike's effort is, okay, I'm sick of this embarrassing record we have here at home, the late arriving crowd, people who are still eating nachos and sipping their beers before and waiting for the team to do something before they put their hands together. Let's give specific introductions to make the fans get into it quickly. And again, I've said this before, fans spend the money, they take the ride, they sit in the traffic, they endure the cold, the wind, the rain. So I'm not criticizing them, but the Patriots fan base and New Englanders in general, we're not the kind of people who just stand up and cheer until we see something. You know, we're not trained monkeys. Just do something, and we start clapping. So I understand he's been at Ohio State. He's been down south. He understands the influence a loud crowd can have, and this might have been a way for him to try and spark the loud crowd.
Halfway through the season, my voice is shot, Tom. Sorry. Halfway through the season,
Lauren Bacall.
It's a mess. I gotta maybe go with the filtered cigarettes instead of the non-filtered.
Yeah.
Will Campbell, obviously not coming off his best performance, but you've seen him now 8 games, hasn't missed a play there at left tackle. What's your assessment of Campbell?
He's been really good, and we tried, Phil and I, on the pod to talk about our 3 offensive MVPs because you have to go with May. We both traded back and forth on who our 3 offensive MVPs were, and Phil went first, and he took Will Campbell and also Stephon Diggs. I threw in a Hunter Henry, and I had to double up on Will Campbell because I agree. It's value that's not because he's playing as well as virtually anyone on the offense, although he kind of is when you really measure it. It's, you know, the whole is greater than the individual parts. But it's because of the upgrade that it's represented. You could say Morgan Moses if you wanted to. You know, the upgrade at right tackle, for instance. But to me, Will Campbell, there's a lot of players you can look at as being valuable, and I think that the position he plays, the stability he's lent, the professionalism he brought, the fact that you can just say, oh, Will Campbell's over there, it should not be a circus, is a big upgrade, a massive upgrade from the doom and gloom we heard beginning in March on both radio stations, on the television network, in the radio, on all social media, just doom and friggin' gloom. It's going to be a disaster. And it's been a non-starter as a conversation.
No, and I would agree through 8 weeks. I would agree with the general takeaway there on Campbell. I didn't think Sunday was great, but I do agree with the big picture. And Myles Garrett is a really tough matchup.
Yes.
Have you learned anything, or should we be wondering any more about Christian Barmore? Is that all water under the bridge? I know Vrabel kind of tried to put that to bed pretty quickly. Whatever happened, it rose to the issue of Vrabel needing to discipline him and sit him down for a quarter. We haven't gotten much on that. What's your understanding of what went down
there?
No,
haven't gotten much on it, no. And, you know, he did say at his opening press conference he was going to expect more from his best players. So Barmore is one of the better players on the team. So I'm presuming it rose to the level of tardiness, but nothing beyond that. I don't know, mismeaning. It just doesn't seem that dire. But to me, Phil was saying that, I don't know if you guys saw this at the end of the game on the 15-yard Bryce Barringer punt.
I saw the punt.
Barmore was on the sideline pretending to fair catch it.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, well, that was a tough punt. Yeah.
So he's recovered. Yeah, he's recovered.
He's doing fine. Tom, a conversation we were having earlier about, I don't know how much of the 18 innings you caught last night of the World Series.
No, I was just listening to you guys. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, where do you come to? Shohei Ohtani, you put him on the short list, or is he the greatest athlete of all time?
He's certainly the greatest baseball player. We could talk about you know, guys like Hank Aaron who don't get their due, or Babe Ruth or Ted Williams or Mickey Mantle or Mike Trout, you name it. To have somebody do what he's doing with not 1920s technology and, you know, Cy Young starting 512 games or whatever it was, winning 512, it's just evolved. And for this guy to be physically durable enough to play at the level he does on both sides of the ball, as they say, is nothing like it. You know, we can talk about Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders, and they deserve conversation. But to do it in the same sport, both sides, it's this is one of those where you don't sit there and say, but wait a minute, what about – this is one where you should just say, yep, that's the guy. Let's embrace it and watch every friggin' second. That's what I wish I did with Pedro Martinez a little bit more. When I was – you know, I just had – my kids were young. But that's an instance of, I wish I watched him every start as close as I could. You have a lot going on with your family, but I miss that. And you should feel that way if you're a baseball fan and you see Shohei Ohtani about to perform. I've got to watch this because it's the greatest there's ever been.
So you agree with Keith and I, and I do not think this is a universal held belief. In fact, we're getting quite a bit of pushback on it. I would say he's the greatest baseball player of all time, just how he's done it. Is unbelievable.
Well, what's funny is, like, the pushback will be like, well, he's not the greatest hitter. It's like, fine, even if he's the fifth greatest hitter, he's also a great pitcher. Then, like, take it.
A Cy Young caliber, hasn't won it, but Cy Young caliber pitcher, got Cy Young votes in 2022. How would you answer the question, though, of greatest athlete? You, Tommy Curran, how would you answer the question of greatest athlete of all time?
It has to include athleticism. You know, some people go, oh, what about Bob Beamon or Carl Lewis? Okay, great. I'm sure that they couldn't dribble a ball without banging it off their forehead because they just went too fast and athletic. The ability to have hand-eye explosiveness, dominance, will, I think those things are incorporated in the greatest athlete of all time. And as a result, I really think that Jordan continues to be an outlier. In my mind, I don't think LeBron, I hate to say this, I just don't see him as a classic athlete. I know he's explosive.
Careful,
no,
Tom.
No, he's not. Yeah. No, he's not.
He's not explosive?
No. Jones is the show's goat.
I was saying
he's not the show's
he's
goat.
He's the show's goat. No, Keith has been outvoted on that. No, but sounds like you're more on Keith's side of the street on that one.
Jordan greater than LeBron. Thank you, Tom.
He's duck-footed.
Yeah.
Just watch the two guys walk. LeBron is duck-footed.
All right, I'm going to have to pay closer attention to
I like it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I don't hear Brady on the list.
Well.
No, I mean, he couldn't beat most people in a race. That's the athleticism. Now we want to talk greatest football player. We want to talk greatest winner. We want to talk greatest competitor, greatest professional athlete. All those things are great. We want to talk greatest athlete. You have to be able to talk about somebody who can chew on the rim in basketball or Deion Sanders, greatest athlete type thing.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Well, Tommy Curran, excellent stuff as always. Check him out, NBC Sports Boston. Watch him all over NBC Sports Boston. Listen to him on WEEI Afternoons Thursday at 3:30 and right here on Jones and Keefe every Tuesday at high noon. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Tom, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Tommy Curran. Give him a follow on Twitter as well at Tom E. Curran.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday, and as promised, we go right to the guest line for Patriots quarterback Drake May, who is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Windward Mental Health. Start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. May, how are we doing this week?
What's going on? How are you doing?
We're doing great. You know, you provide us a lot of real enjoyable content. You mentioned that the fans have been through a couple tough seasons around here. Well, As a radio host that's trying to make chicken salad out of you-know-what the last couple of years, it really is enjoyable to talk about a team that's on a winning streak and in first place. So let's get to yesterday's game that kept that rolling. What kind of challenges did you see from the Browns' defense? Did they create some problems for you early in terms of kicking field goals and kind of being in a dogfight? And then what changed in the third quarter when it just blew up and all of a sudden it was a rout?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was kind of early on. I think, you know, we knew they were a good defense, you know, one of the top defenses in the league. They've been playing great, you know, really all year, you know, with them. I think they've had a few games where you maybe won. I think the Lions got them, but really other than that, they've been one of the top defenses in the league. And I think we knew coming into it, we just have to, you know, stay positive, stay ahead of the chains. And I think we got down in the red zone some and had some negative plays that hurt us. And maybe I think – couple plays we usually have back. I wish I had back down there. But from there in the third quarter, I think Coach kind of called a great plan coming out of first half, and then we kind of got rolling, and the defense helped us out a lot. They had a big turnover down there to set us up in the inside the 10. That's always nice to see. And from there, we just you know, found some things in the third quarter and really put the game out of reach. And then, you know, defense kind of held its own and really showed up big time.
So, Drake, what were your first impressions of Myles Garrett? I mean, you got to see him up close and personal several times on Sunday, and I'm not sure if you heard his post-game remarks, but he was quite complimentary of you and seems to be a big fan.
Yeah, I got to meet him and hang around in the offseason, so I got to see him actually in his uniform. We did a shoot where we were in our uniforms. I think, you know, one of the best players in the league. I mean, just goes to show, you know, what he's done for in that organization for so many consecutive years. He's tough to handle, and he's one of the, you know, of our generation. And I think he just shows up every year, and he's something you need to account for. And I think our guys, you know, really all day long try to, you know, give the best shot. And I think I held it a few times that let him get to me. So you know, really other than that, I'm just proud of the guys for continuing to, you know, battle up front. I know, you know, we knew it was a tough challenge, so. Sometimes just great players make good plays.
In terms of that, you know, he is a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's probably the best defensive player of this generation. What do you say to the guys up front, you know, after Will Campbell and company, after a performance like that? Because, sure, they gave up 5 sacks, but they also gave you enough opportunities to make plays and win the football game. So what's your – do you interact with those guys? Do you talk to them after the game about that? Drake?
You got me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think for Will, I think it's, you know, in the tackles, I think, you know, he knew he was going to move around some, go left side, right side, sometimes be inside. So I think, you know, I think it's something you learn from. You learn from, you know, playing a guy like that, and there's maybe only a few of them around the league, you know, every year. But just learn from it. And it's a great thing for Will to see at such a young age. And, you know, Morgan, you know, most have seen him a couple times. So I think those guys knew the challenge, and they weren't scared of it, and they wanted to block them, and we tried to, you know, help them out scheme wise, and from there, and almost sometimes, I think, like I said, those guys are gonna make plays, you know. I think it's inevitable, so just keep on going, and I think they were great getting back in the huddle and being positive. And,
Do we lose you, Fitzy?
Drake?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Okay. I had a little dip there. Sorry, buddy. Okay. My question to you is this. Obviously, you got a great end zone connection with Kayshon Booty. You and Hunter Henry have something going on as well when it comes to scoring points together. But how nice did it feel yesterday to finally get Steph Diggs into the end zone, his first touchdown as a member of the Patriots?
Yeah, we were joking. It took a while for him to get in the end zone. The play before he got in, he was kind of manifesting it. He wanted to get in the end zone real bad. So we were joking, you know, that Casey had more touchdowns than him. I said that in the post-game press conference. So it was good to get him in the end zone. I think he was excited more than anybody to get in the end zone. And, you know, I think it was a great call.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Speaking of post-game, you said you were a little nervous for the individual introductions, that you don't have any swag. Your head coach agreed this morning on the Greg Hill Show that you have no swag. So what are you going to do about that? Are you going to maybe choreograph something, watch some old Ray Lewis film? You got anything planned?
No, I got nothing planned. Nothing to change. I'm just going to keep being, you know, myself. And I got nothing, you know, really to
to scheme for it. I think just try to get the crowd a little bit involved, and other than that, just go out and worry about winning the game.
Do you like not having swag? Are you looking to maybe make not having swag cool, be so swagless that swaglessness becomes cool?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm, you know, swagless. I think just, I'm not really worried about all the bells and whistles, and, you know, the guys make fun of me for my practice drip, saying I got no drip anyway, so who cares? I think it's funny.
Yeah. Just a little side question to Andy's question there. Are you at a point in your relationship with Mike Vrabel that when he busts your chops like that, like, you can bust him back, or do you just sort of like laugh it off and roll with it?
No, I think you always, you know, try to bust his chops a little bit back. I think he'd want that. I don't think he'd want, you know, to him kind of be the bully. You got to give the bully something back a little bit sometimes too.
Now, as far as like how things are going for you, you know, which are seem so spectacular at this point, I'm just kind of curious. What were the goals? Like, you're kind of at the midpoint of the season, Drake. So what were your personal goals for yourself as QB of the team at the midway point? And have you met them and surpassed them? And do you have any new goals now that you guys are so successful at 6-2 going forward?
No, I think our goals haven't changed as a team. I think we want to try to win the division. We want to, you know, make it to the playoffs. We want to, you know, have home playoff games. And we want to continue to, you know, be a tough team to play on the road and be tough to play at home. So that's been our goals the whole season. And, you know, for myself, I'm really just aligned to our team goals.
As a leader of the team, as the quarterback, as you're dealing with all this success, not just you, but the team as a whole, and people are talking about you guys being contenders and number one seed could be in play, do you do anything as a leader to kind of counteract that whole Nick Saban rat poison thing, or does it, you just kind of go with the flow?
I think to continue to show up every week in practice. That's the biggest thing I can control, getting the guys ready to go in practice. And I think Coach Vrabel handles the message of handling success and being ready to go each and every week. So my part is just to try to, you know, handle my approach to practice and handle the guys, you know, how their mindset is.
So, Drake, we all get a chance to watch that really fun piece on the Fox pregame show Sunday with you and Gronk in the stadium. First question, had you met Gronk before, and were you stunned at how big a human being he is? And second, how cool was it to FaceTime with Brady and chat up the GOAT like that?
Yeah, I had met Gronk before. He's a great personality. He's an awesome player, and you know, even more fun off the field. And I think, yeah, it's always cool, you know, be able to chance to talk to Tom. You know, any chance. I know they do a lot of NFC games, but shoot, you know, the greatest of all time. You know, any, you know, words or what he says, you know, people listen, and I listen, you know, when he's talking to me. So it was pretty cool.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. You mentioned Kayshon Boutte earlier. It's like another week, another deep ball touchdown. But I wanted to bring up another pass. There was a crosser before one of these scores where he reached back, made a nice adjustment. Do you continue to be impressed or wowed by his ability? Because he adjusted on the deep ball touchdown. He adjusts on that crosser. The ability he has to make plays on the ball when it's in the air and go get it?
No, I think the biggest thing, you know, you aren't surprised when you see it every day in practice, and that's what these guys do. You know, they put it on tape, they put it in practice, they show it in practice, and, you know, it's my chance to give them chances to, you know, it's my job to give them chances to go make plays, and they keep on doing it. So there's still some stuff to learn from the game, but, you know, I think just trying to keep giving them chances and they keep on showing up.
Drake, yesterday it seems like that was the closest thing to a breakout game for Travion Henderson at running back. The ground game was great with yourself, Ramondre, Travion, 180 yards on the ground. How important is it? How much would it mean to not only get another running back going, but to be able to lean on the ground game almost equally alongside your passing game?
Yeah, it's huge in this league, being able to run the football. It's huge. I think it sets up so many different things and, you know, establishes the line of scrimmage. So, you know, I know those guys up front want to run the ball. They've been showing these past couple of weeks that we can run the ball, and I think that's the biggest thing for us, is to keep on going and, you know, give them chances to, you know, make plays on the perimeter, inside. So I think we got, you know, I like what we're doing up front.
You mentioned earlier your head coach, Mike Vrabel, sometimes busting your chops a little bit. Another example of that last night was talking about sending you to spring training to work on your sliding. I think he was referencing that one long run you had where there seemed like a little indecision there before you went down. Is that good natured? I mean, do you need to be a better slider? You told us you played baseball. You have confidence in your sliding. What'd you think of that comment?
Yeah. No, I think it was definitely one of those moments where you're one-on-one with the safety. You know, you kind of want to you know, my intuition is to do something to try to make a move and score. But, yeah, I think these guys, these safeties in this league, they're pretty good at tackling quarterbacks one-on-one. So just getting down, and I think I'm a pretty good slider. You know, play baseball, like I said. So I think it was just more of a comment on, you know, how my slide, kind of the decisiveness, I think, is more of kind of the clarity of it.
Have your brothers reached out yet for the weekly ego check, or to just sort of make sure that things aren't getting too things aren't getting ahead of themselves with you?
Yeah, one of my brothers at the game yesterday, so it's every week.
That's great.
Speaking of the staying humble, is there anything you do to stay humble when, you know, the world is just throwing bouquets your way? And I know you've talked about your brothers, but your wife, is she grounding? You know, you've talked about she knows football, she knows ball. What do you do to try to stay humble when you're playing as well as you're playing and the numbers you're putting up?
Yeah, I think just try to stick to your routine. You know, don't change on, you know, what you're doing throughout, you know, weekly basis. And, you know, I got a pretty tight circle in my life, so just keep on talking to those people. And, like I said, just don't change my routine and don't lose sight of putting in the work throughout the week to, you know, have that show up on Sundays.
Are there any things that you do right now, even though I know you're only 23, Drake, with an eye on trying to prolong your career as much as possible? Like, obviously, taking care of your body when you're on the field, sliding, trying to avoid big hits. But any good habits you've developed early on? Because, you know, while obviously the game hasn't gone his way the last couple of weeks, the furthest ball thrown in the NFL this year is by Aaron Rodgers, who's in his 40s, and last night he was throwing 50 yarders off his back foot as well.
Yeah, I think I'm a huge proponent of sleep. I think, ironically, since I got married, you know, I've kind of been turned into a grandma, grandpa with my wife getting in bed early. So, getting married and trying to get sleep, and I think that's a big thing that Coach Vrabel's big on too, getting sleep. And he preaches, you know, being ready to go in the morning, and I think that's kind of, you know, what I've kind of used so far in my career.
All right, it's your favorite time, the new segment that we added a couple weeks ago, the May or May Not segment. So in light of Halloween, full-size candy bars, may or may not?
May. I think you got to be a fan of full-size candy bars. I think that's what you searched for, you hunted for growing up. So
is that where
the easy one?
You're going to be giving those out? If you're for it, that means you're an adult now, you're married. You're going to be giving those out at the May house?
I will. I did tell my wife that the other day. I do agree.
Before I even get to my next may or may not, what's your favorite full-size candy bar?
Favorite full-size candy bar. You know, I was always a fan of the Reese's because growing up, I know Reese's full-size is not as much of a candy bar, but I think just the big Reese's cups were my favorite.
All good by me, man. All right, may or may not, adult costumes and adult Halloween parties.
I think I may. I think I'm trying to show up if the guys are having a party. You know, show up and be there, and maybe not for long, but show up and just be a part of the team.
Okay, we saw your Cam Newton Superman celebration earlier in the year, and it was quick. And that had me wondering, in this age of choreographed and premeditated TD celebrations, do you like those? So choreographed TD celebrations, may or may not?
Myself, personally, may not. I mean, I was a one-off with the one against the Panthers. I think the team choreographed, I think I'm in for those. I'm always down.
May or may not, karaoke night and or singing in the shower?
Ooh, probably may not. I think unless it's really close family and friends, I think it'd be a may not.
All right. Appreciate you playing along. Time now for the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. And the QB question of the week comes from Mike in Medford. And he asks, what are you going to be for Halloween? And is that a decision you get to make by yourself, or is it a couple's costume decision by your wife?
Yeah, I think it's my wife. I think whatever she decides for us. So I'm sure she's got some good ideas. So I won't look too much like a clown in it, but you know, I think she's more, that's more her, down her alley.
So you'll just kind of show up later in the week and she'll have something waiting for you to put on and say, let's go, we're going to the party kind of thing?
Exactly. That's what I imagine.
Smart man. Happy wife, happy life, right? Drake May, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck this coming week as the train keeps chugging along. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Go back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Rob Ninkovich is here every Wednesday. He is brought to you by Ketch's Law, your attorneys, your neighbors, and the official law firm of the New England Patriots. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com. Tough to find fault with this first place 6-2 New England Patriots team. But, Rob, you were telling me the other night that you do have a concern headed into the second half of the NFL season.
Just running the ball consistently, rushing. When you have to run the ball, four-minute offense, if it's a nasty game, say you have a rainy, cold fall New England, which we're going to have one of those. This past weekend was beautiful, sunny, awesome. But at some point, you're going to have to run the ball with your running backs. And right now, Drake May has 250 yards rushing, and Stevenson has 279 yards rushing. So that is not great.
Right.
You don't want your quarterback to have as much as your number one running back. That just goes to show you that the quarterback, yes, he's getting out of situations and using his legs, but you're also relying on him right. to scramble for first downs instead of running the ball.
Do you put that more on the running backs, on the offensive coordinator, on the line? Like where
well,
do you
running
fight?
The ball is it's a group effort. So you have your offensive line, obviously they're executing what the play is, but your running back has to see it. We talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
The running back and everybody have to work together and they have to see it. And also you have to take care of the football. So do you have less confidence now that you've seen some of the fumbles like we did versus the Steelers? I know Vrabel has talked about, you know, still needing Stevenson and still mm-hmm. having to rely on him, and he's got to stay here. And like you're going to need him. So at some point in the future, say you're in a, you know, field goal game where you have to control the time of possession, you just can't march down the field and throw, and right. give the other team a chance to tie the game or win the game. You have to run the ball, win the time of possession, and right. how you do that is through the ground, the running game.
So then where do you put running backs on needs for trade deadline?
No, like, I wouldn't think it's a need that they need to go and get more running backs. I think they just need to continue to work on the running game as a whole. Keep doing all your, you know, in practice, you can't do it now, but before we used to be able to do running game, 9-on-7.
Right.
We used to just team run, right? You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's illegal now. You can't do team run anymore. So
just work on Ramondre and Trey Brown.
You work on the team running it, but you don't have a defense in front of you.
Even Vrabel said
you could do team run. You could run all your run plays during team, but you just can't do the specific 9-on-7 half lines. Yeah. You can't do that now.
Even Vrabel said it because I had asked him about that on Monday. I was like, the running game looked better, and then he was like, well, minus the 50 yards of Drake May, but – kind of to go to, and I know Shime loves this world because he's an all-22 guy. You're right. It is different phases. There was a run where it got blown up in the backfield, and it was because the center, Bradbury, literally got walked back into the running back's lap. So that's on the O-line. And then there's runs where you win the line of scrimmage, and then the running back is not hitting it through the hole.
It's
so
timing, too.
Yeah, you got to know, yeah. Or he's not cutting backside. Yeah. So I always look at it, if there's a lot of TFLs, then that tells me maybe the O-line is getting beat at the line of scrimmage, you know, and that could be more on the offensive lineman, unless they just free gap guys running through gaps.
So you also have your scheme runs and your zone runs. So mm-hmm. there's teams that they're specifically a zone running team,
right.
And then there's teams that are scheme and gap running teams.
Yep.
So they come up with specific plays against whatever defense you're facing to attack. So a zone running team, they're just everyone's flowing one way, and the running back is taught to push it to the edge and then find the hole and
right.
get north and south. That's defeated by a good edge guy. So you set the edge, everyone, you know, stack up the firewood, there is no cutback,
right.
and then everyone on the backside makes the play. So I would assume that this team, because they're not really built like a zone running team, they're
right.
a scheme running team. And I don't think Josh is a zone running guy. Sometimes, maybe, yes, there's a time and a place for that. But scheme runs, you also have to have the personnel. You know, do they go get a fullback?
Right.
Probably not. You know, you're using the tight ends now kind of mm-hmm. as fullbacks.
Right.
There's not really a fullback position except for the Ravens. I think they have the only fullback in the league right now.
And it seems like the one play where they do make some yards, and I know Shime loved it, was the toss play. So now the toss is about making sure you get that edge
yeah.
and you get a guy like Travion Henderson outside to use his ability. So that's about cutting the defense in half and let's outflank everybody. So, you know, it seems like they like that run, or it's been successful, whether it's a toss or a little flip play.
Well, yeah. And Rob, last week too in the NFL across the board, there was a massive leap in like jumbo packages. Do you expect the Patriots to utilize any of those going forward?
Yeah,
at all?
I mean, you could do that. So you bring an extra offensive lineman in and you know, declare him as a tight end eligible. So you're just trying to get a little more weight on the field. And as a whole, the defenses across the board are lighter, right? So your defensive ends are a little bit lighter. Your linebackers, your inside backers are 220 to 230. They used to be 250 to 260. So you have more speed on the field defensively mm-hmm. now in the NFL, but you also have taken off a true blocking tight end. There's
right.
not really true blocking tight ends. There's not fullbacks that are just specifically there to run up and knock someone's face off. Like, that, it's just a completely different game. So if you bring in a heavy guy defensively, you have a package for that. So they bring in a heavy guy. Hey,
right.
we're bringing in our hippo unit, you know, so we're bringing in our fat guy too.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's always a chess match.
And then, you know, like, oh, that team's probably not throwing the ball out of this personnel
yeah.
group in here. And it's like, all right, basically, yep. all right, here comes the run.
Yeah.
Speaking of around the NFL, we had a lively discussion on the show yesterday about the Indianapolis Colts and their owner.
I think it's awesome.
Okay.
I think it's awesome. So in any situation, if you ask why, you should understand it. Why are we doing this? You should understand it and have more of an understanding than just someone telling you, oh, it's going to work. Don't worry about it. Oh, this guy's doing the right thing. But if you actually know what's going on and you say, all right, well, that doesn't make sense, you can ask more in-depth questions. So I think it's great that she's in there learning and trying to ask questions. And because there's also times where a coach could throw a player under the bus and be like, well, he didn't do what I told him to do. And you could say, well, that was a stupid call. Like, yeah, yeah. It was just a bad call. And when you have more of an understanding of what's going on, you have the ability to make better decisions.
Did you experience that kind of thing here when you were playing for the Patriots?
There's always going to be the ownership is always involved. They own the team. It's different when you have. I don't think I've ever seen an owner with a headset on and writing notes down. Yeah. But you know that's kind of a first, right? So good for her for wanting to do that.
Right.
But I think that's if you look around the league. There's owners that are present, that are on the sideline, that are at practice, that are in the facility, in the meetings, mm-hmm. but they don't, you know, they don't have their headset on.
And I think it's a changing, too, of the ownership god a little bit, where some of the younger, and when I say younger, I mean we always think of the owner of the being the 80-year-old dinosaur who's owned the team forever. But even look at, like, Woody Johnson. He gets information from his kid who plays Madden. Like, you know, I feel like there's, like, this younger god who of, like, yo, oh, my dad's a billionaire and owns a team.
Isn't that why they got rid of Aaron Rodgers? Because of his Madden score and the kid told him, get rid of him, Dad.
Right.
I don't like him.
Daddy, get him out of here. Rodgers.
And hey. Greg, I understand, but I think that's kind of what ownership is like. Yeah. A lot of these older owners, their kids are more involved, and seems like Ursay's daughter wants to be more involved.
Hey, Shad Khan is in the locker room all
the time. Gonna go on forever!
Oh, that's funny.
Players, I would think in most cases, just kind of turn their head and mumble when something like that is going on.
Honestly, I don't think so. If you saw what Gilmore said about it, like she's involved. I don't think you would turn your head and be like, why is she here? I don't think that at all. I would personally be like, all right, that's pretty cool. She's respecting what we're doing. She's trying to learn. She's trying to make us better versus, you know, you have some owners that you never see.
Right.
You know, like when I was in Miami, I don't think I ever saw the owner. Ever.
Right.
Ever.
It also seems like she's not inserting herself and she's
she's observing.
Right.
So, like, I'm more nervous for the observer than the guy that's actually, you know, involved and asking and saying stuff. The observer, you're like, okay. That's like Parcells. Parcells was a very big observer. He would just pop up and be there just watching you. And then you'd be like, oh, man.
Uh-oh, what's he doing?
What's he doing over there?
Yeah.
Taking mental notes?
Looking at me?
Cut that guy. You know?
But it, I think
there's that kid from Easty that won't stop talking.
Yeah, well, you know what? Parcells gave me my chance, so I will never knock that
but
man.
But he was known to just sneak into the room, and you'd be in there with your feet up and be like, oh. Damn it, I should have had my feet on the ground. I shouldn't have been relaxing here. I should have been more attentive. But
I like an owner who wants to see, like, or who's willing to be like, all right, we need to have a better, you know, locker room facilities, a better training staff facilities. Bring in, like, you know, what can we do? Because I feel like I would do that as an owner. What can I do to help my team be better, right? Whether it's, you know, we sit here and we talk about the grades every year for facilities, travel, this, that, and we criticize the Patriots when we see a bad grade. So if you're an owner, you want to make sure that you have good grades for all those things and your players enjoy coming to work every day.
She also might, she's probably emotionally attached to the owner, to that position. Her dad just passed away.
100%.
She wants to do well. Mm-hmm. She's also a female in that position where more eyes are on you. So she's probably deciding for herself, hey, I'm going to make sure that I do the best that I can, take advantage of the situation, make my dad proud, and make this team the best it can be and get to a Super Bowl and do something that he'd be proud of me for.
And make sure that I'm informed.
Informed.
Yeah.
And not just having the wool pulled over my eyes.
We asked Boomer this on Monday. Your top three teams in the AFC right now?
Top three teams in the AFC. So I don't love Kansas City, but... And I know their record isn't the best, but when I'm watching them play, they're very annoying. So they're on my three. I'm not going to give you a one, two, or three.
Because they're just going to be
there. They're just going to be there. So they could be a team that might just barely get there, but once they're in the playoffs, you're like, why did they beat us at home?
Yeah.
So they're in there. The Pats are in there. And the Bills are in there.
Oh, okay. Over the Colts.
The Colts are probably... They're like my top because the Colts scare me because they can run the ball. They can win the time of possession. That's what you have a problem with, and especially in a bad weather game. And I know they're a dome team, but if you have to go to Indiana, I know it's a tough place to play, and they're running the ball. You might have a limited amount of series to go score.
And they pump the crowd noise.
And they do pump. I've been the RCA Dome.
So I'd say that my top three, four would be the Colts. They're up there, mm-hmm. right? Three's a tough number to try and get the top in.
Ravens getting Lamar back tomorrow night.
So you have a mobile quarterback with something that makes him less mobile.
Right. The hamstring injury.
Okay, he's a mobile quarterback that's in the pocket. I don't think that's a great combination.
Defense stinks. I don't know. Their defense is dealing with a ton of injuries.
I mean, they're not, like I said 3 weeks ago, there's teams that we thought were going to be better than they were. There's teams that are better than we actually gave them credit for. So we have a whole NFL now where you look at the Colts, you're like, I forgot about them because I haven't really thought about them. But they're 7-1. They got the best record going right now. So you got to respect that. And I think that they're able to do that through physical football, running the ball. Mm. They have a great front. You know, their offensive line's really physical. So you're going to have to come into a situation. If you have to play that team, you better buckle up because you know they're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm. And they're decent. But Kansas City's defense is good, so that's why they scare me. You know, because if you can have a good defense, and we've seen it with a guy like Brady before, like if you have Mahomes and you have a good defense – that is a recipe for basically them destroying the league, because if you can't get it going on offense, you know, sooner or later, Mahomes, like I was watching the game the other night and the touchdown he threw to Hunt in the end zone where he's running around, extends the play, and then boom, like that's what he's going to be able to do. And you put him with a good defense, that Kansas City always worries me.
There's teams where you count the number of series you potentially have for the game. And you know, if we don't score mm-hmm. on three or four of these series and they kick a field goal, we lose, right? So they're an offense where they're going to move the ball down the field. Your defense has to just not let them score touchdowns.
Right.
Drive down the field, score, kick a field goal. Do not score a touchdown. And hopefully, and that's what we did with Brady. All right, we play a good team like Denver. We play a great team like the Ravens, back when the Ravens were the Ravens. Okay, if they drive the ball to the 30 and hold them to a field goal, I'm betting that Tom is going to get us in the end zone.
Right.
So you got four or five series like that, that's what you want. We win the game. So it's more of like that bend but don't break mentality when you're playing a good offense like that.
All right, before you go, since you brought it up, do we get first contact with those from outer space?
I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in aliens?
No.
All right.
I don't. Because listen, the second they do get here,
how arrogant!
We're all vaporized, by the way. They're not coming.
Are
they coming in peace?
They could.
Why not?
They're coming to take our resources. So, like, you better strap up and get ready.
Or they're going
to
teach us a thing or two. Avi Loeb seems very not too worried about them coming. Everything's going to change.
Nothing is good about a foreign person an alien.
But they might have already been here before, Rob, and helped build the pyramids.
But if there's so much more intelligent.
Well, what happened back then? We don't know.
Right.
So there could have been some crazy experiments
going on. Did
we land
on the moon?
Shouldn't we have air traffic controllers now more than ever?
Yes.
But
stop,
Robin,
the government shutdown.
If they're so much more intelligent than us, what can we give them that they want from us?
Good point.
Nothing.
Yeah, right. We won't be here. They'll just take our water.
They want our manual labor.
They're so much more intelligent.
They want to enslave us.
Okay.
Probably.
What are you much more intelligent than?
Have you not seen America? No one likes to work. You really think there's going to be people out there doing manual labor for aliens?
Listen, when you see a little ant or a spider going, you're much more intelligent than that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you just stomp on it.
So you think
don't
they
want
view
it
us
around.
As ants?
Yes. If they get here and they're that much more intelligent than us, we are little ants. We're not even comparable.
I don't think they're more intelligent than us. I don't believe they exist, but if they did.
If they came from how far away, they're more intelligent.
Or they're the Amazonian women who are coming to
take all of you
guys. Or you
go get your glass of water, like remember Signs? And mm-hmm. we just start surrounding ourselves with cups of water.
Yeah. Just build a moat. You'll
and
be
how
fine.
Did Sign end? Oh, yeah, that's right. They hit an alien over the head with a baseball bat.
No, they dumped water on it. They couldn't get fresh water on it.
Pretty good movie, though.
Hopefully they don't like oxygen, okay?
When that alien, one of the most terrifying scenes in a movie ever, when that alien clawfoot thing comes out the door while mm-hmm. the kid is at home. In the basement area? Yes.
Whoa!
Like, oh, no.
So we should be worried about people if you throw water on them that it's going to affect them.
You don't want to be the one like, we come in peace. Have you seen, remember, what's that movie with the space? It's hilarious.
Independence Day?
No.
Baseballs? No, it's like the guys with the glass helmets on. And it's, what the heck is that?
Wait, is that Three Games to Glory?
Marvin the Martian?
No, it's, they're coming out of they're coming out of the,
he's talking about
outer space. And they're coming out and everyone's there. It's like the president's there.
Mars Attacks.
Yes, Mars Attacks.
And they're like, we are here. Welcome. And they start vaporizing everybody.
Or you could watch E.T.
Oh,
E.T.? Have a completely different experience.
Yeah. Elliot.
Yes.
Elliot.
All right. So we better make sure our daisies and flowers are looking good.
Yep. Yeah.
So the aliens don't.
I feel like Adam Silver has already won.
Elliot.
He does look a little bit alien-like.
E.T.
He really is. All right, Rob Ninkovich, great to see you. Thanks for being here. We will
aliens.
See you.
If the aliens are coming, I'm speeding home.
Yeah.
Please don't.
I would keep it Leadfoot there. If you could keep it under it was a stop 65 sign. Or so, it'd
stop
be great.
Sign got me.
All right, that's Rob Ninkovich.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.